Good morning. Greetings to you all in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? Greetings in the name of my Lord. Is He your Lord? If not, He can be. If not, He wants to be. I will abide in thy dwelling place forever. Did you mean that? Did you sing that from the heart? I did not request that song, but that song just so fits the burden of my heart here this morning. Abiding. Remaining. In the kingdom of God. Are you crying out to God that He would attend unto your prayer? Do you realize that it takes the Lord Jesus Christ, it takes the grace of God for you and I to remain in His kingdom? Are you crying out to God? Lord! I want to remain in your kingdom, but I can't do it. My flesh will fail me. If I trust in my flesh, it will fail me. Lord, hear my cry. Attend unto my prayer. Is that your heart? It takes the grace of God to become a child of God. It takes the continuum in the grace of God. It takes a continual inflow of God's grace into our lives to remain a child of God. I wonder if there's someone here today that truly got born again by the grace of God through faith. But walked on maybe a few months, maybe a couple of years have gone by, and you started trusting yourself, the arm of flesh. If you're not relying on the grace of God as you did when you got saved, if your faith is not in that same place, that same grace, you're not saved. Mark it down. You're not saved. If you're not walking in that saving grace, which is the power of God, another definition for grace in the New Testament is God's divine influence upon our hearts. And if we don't have that, we're none of His. Because if we don't have that, we don't have the witness of the Spirit. Continuing in the grace of God. I don't know what to title the message. I'm leaning towards the Lord Jesus' high priestly prayer. You know, and He prayed for His disciples, and He prayed for us. He prayed for those who were yet to be born. which is us. And he prayed, and we'll look at that. But he prayed there, and he has these words. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil in the world. So I'm thinking of the title as In, but not of the world. In, but not of the world. Let's call that the world. The worldly kingdom. And inside this worldly kingdom, we have God's kingdom. When we're born into this worldly kingdom. We're born outside of this circle. When we get born again by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, putting our faith in Him, He takes us and He puts us into this kingdom. Beloved young people, is that you? Have you been transformed? Have you been translated? Have you been transferred from the worldly kingdom to God's kingdom? And if so, are you remaining in this kingdom? Are you remaining in this kingdom? You see, this kingdom is in this world. To be Christians doesn't take us out of this world, does it? This burden that's on my heart, and please do pray for me, I'm not very disciplined when it comes to time, and I try to do my very best. This burden's been on my heart for months. Never dreamt that I would stand in front of 650-something students at Bible school 2004. Never dreamt it. But when Brother Mose called and asked, I said, okay, Lord, that's why I've been carrying this. It's very possible today that we have some that were born in this worldly kingdom and they're still there and never, ever left that kingdom. Going to church doesn't mean you've left that kingdom. Putting on modest apparel doesn't mean you've left that kingdom. Just because some hippie cuts his hair and takes off his rings doesn't mean he's left the kingdom. The most decent looking individual can still be in the world. You. Can still be in this worldly kingdom, even at Bible school. I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask for a raise of hand, and I'm going to trust that you are going to be totally honest. How many of you met with God this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, those of you who are honest. God's people meet with God. And when God's people don't meet with God, they go back here very quickly. And I'm not saying this morning, I understand the pressure and the intensity of a week like this. But what an opportunity for me to make my point. Mark it down. God's people will spend time with God. If you've been transformed into the kingdom of God, if you've been transferred, which only the grace of God can do, you'll need to spend time here. You'll need to spend time with your Lord. Or you'll soon be over here again. How many of you came here this morning expecting with this purpose in heart to meet with God today, during the day? Raise your hand. If you want to meet with God, He's going to meet with you. He will. He takes note of us. He has an interest in us. He has an interest in each one of you. Each one of you. God's kingdom, which is in this world, is very small compared to the world. We have a great God, the creator of this world, but His kingdom is small in this world. Jesus says, "Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Many are walking in the world and deceived themselves, thinking that they Sunday morning walk into God's kingdom, Sunday afternoon they walk back out. Few there be that find Him. Few. God's kingdom is not a habitation that we only dwell in one day a week. If you find yourself that you pray Sunday mornings and you read your Bible Sunday morning and that is it, don't fool yourself that you're in God's kingdom. Not if that's the regular cycle in your life. My dear friends, I desire to be a mouthpiece for God here this morning, and that's it. But the burden that's on my heart comes from, and I will be speaking mainly to those of you who are born again. To those of you who are walking with God today. Those that have been transferred from this kingdom into this kingdom. And that's where my burden comes from, because I've seen so many from this kingdom go into this kingdom. What do we call it when an individual, a person from this kingdom gets transferred to this kingdom. What do we call that? Someone.
Born again.
Born again. Salvation. Repentance. Correct? What do we call it when someone goes from this kingdom to this kingdom? Backslidden? It's also repentance. It's also repentance. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful, beloved young people? It's glorious, it's beautiful when a sinner repents and gets converted and transferred into this kingdom. But doesn't it grip your heart this morning to think that it's repentance when someone leaves this kingdom and goes back to this kingdom? It takes the power of God, the grace of God, to be transferred from here to here. What does it take to go from here to there? The power of this world. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Mark this verse as the key verse for this morning's message. Beloved brothers and sisters, young people, oh, there is so much potential in you. There is so much potential in all of us. But there's so much potential in you. My burden this morning is that you who are in this kingdom would remain in this kingdom. I want to encourage you to remain there. Stay in this kingdom. But don't be deceived because this kingdom is in this world. And there's a drawing from this world to the people that are in this world. These people in this worldly kingdom, they like to try to snatch and snare people out of this kingdom. That's Satan's work. He came to steal. He came to destroy. And He wants to do that to those who are in this kingdom. He wants to do that to you if you're in that kingdom. Beware. Be aware. In Colossians chapter 2 here, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So walk ye in Him. But it doesn't stop there. Look at the next verse, verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You need both verses. You need both of those verses. Brothers and sisters, you need both of them. You can't walk in Him as you've received Him if you don't have verse 7. If you're not experiencing verse 7, you're not going to experience verse 6. And if you're not experiencing verse 6, you're going back into this world. Many people are deceived and they think that there's a fine line, a border, maybe for sake of illustration, there's a catwalk here and they can come out of this kingdom before they, you know, there's a margin here. They can be out of this kingdom, but yet not in this kingdom. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. As you have received Him, so walk in Him. Continue. Walking is action. If we're going to walk, that means we need to be alive. So live in Him. As you have received Him, so live in Him. This word in verse 7 here, abounding, rooted and built up in Him. And who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up in Him. Not in Brother Denny. Not in Brother Mose. Not in any other brother that will be sharing here at Youth Bible School. Not in the pastor of your church. Rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith. And established in the faith. You see what happens when we get transferred from this kingdom into this kingdom. We are to have roots that go down in this kingdom, firmly planting us there. Firmly planting our faith here, establishing our faith here, growing and being built up in Him. So that when temptations and trials come our way from the world, we are rooted. We're rooted. We're secure. We're not easily moved. Does that describe your life this morning, Christian? Does that describe your life this morning? Are you walking in Him as you have received Him? Are your roots going deeper? Are they growing thicker, stronger? Is your faith being established in Christ? The word abound means, abounding means abundance. Abounding therein. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught and abounding therein. Abounding therein. Abounding in what? In that your faith is being established. In that your roots are there. Abounding. Abundance. Enough and to spare. Is your faith enough for you? Are your roots deep enough for you? And do you have to spare? I get this picture that I'm firmly planted in the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to be easily moved. Another definition for that word was excel. Superabundance. Exceed. Increase. Increase in the faith. Increase those roots in Christ. Remain was another word for that word abundant. Abundantly. Abounding, sorry. Abounding. Remaining. Remaining. And it had in brackets, over and above. Over and above. Is that you this morning, Christian? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in thy dwelling place forever. Forever? Well, we better be rooted. You know, the times in this world, the evil is not lessening. The evil is increasing, and as it's increasing, it's getting more subtle. We heard about it last night a bit. But there's a lot of gadgets that are being created in this worldly kingdom, and rightly used with wisdom and discernment, Christians can use them even against this kingdom. But a lot of those gadgets are in this kingdom. And they're rocking the Christian to sleep. A lot of these gadgets are nothing more than a slide which take them from this kingdom to this kingdom. It could be your cell phone. It could be your computer. It could be your cameras. Think about it. Everything that they come with nowadays. There's a problem with Christianity today, and that is that they think that they can have everything that the world offers and have it in here and remain in here. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Remember, how was it that you came from here? How is it that you're able to grow in here? Not of yourself. Remember the Lord Jesus. And be thankful. And be thankful. I've seen too many times with my own eyes, and I've heard more than I've seen of others that were in God's kingdom, that were inside of this red circle. And for some reason or another, they ended up back in here. You know, that's something that my mind doesn't comprehend. My experience with God, I can't understand how individuals can do that. My experience has been, since the Lord Jesus saved me, that I've never had a desire to go back to this kingdom. Never! My eyes were opened. I saw the vast difference between the two kingdoms. And I had no desire to go back. And I'm not picking on anyone here that may find themselves there. Or may have been there. But I'm just telling you, I don't understand it. What does the world have to offer the children of God? What? The wages of sin is death. The gift of Christ is eternal life. The gift of Christ is joy, peace, love, happiness. I mean, life abundant. What does this world have to offer? nothing. And has nothing to offer me that appeals to me. And yet, we see individuals whom we saw excelling with God, whom we saw they were walking with God, and it was evident that God was walking with them. One day, all of a sudden, they're gone. Why? Why? The practical answer to why will vary from person to person. But the Bible gives us clear indications why. If you think you can be in this kingdom and have what this world has to offer, use it the same way the world uses it, whether that be vehicles, being in with the latest fashion, whether it would be in the form of a camera, a cell phone, that's of this world. God's kingdom is in this world, but those that are in God's kingdom are not supposed to be of this world. In this world, but not of this world. Christians are supposed to be the called out ones. Christians are supposed to be the ones that live up and above this world. Is that you this morning? Are you living up and above this world? Are you the one that's set apart? And the world looks on and sees that you're not of us? Can the world say that of us? And I'm not talking about our dress. I'm talking about our practices. Our conduct. What would the world's testimony be of you? Would the world say, you're just like us? Or would they be able to say, you're not of us? You're none of us. You're out of this world. Christian, as you have received Him, so walk ye in Him. We don't have to, as Christians, we don't have to be scared of those that are lurking on the outside. We don't have to be scared. We have not received the bondage of fear, the spirit of fear. We're not being put back in that bondage. We keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We received Him by faith and we continue to walk by faith. We look to Him and we continue to look to Him. 2 Peter 3:18, I think it is, tells us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Christian, if you want to remain here, you must be growing. You must be growing. I want to encourage you this morning, beloved youth, grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in it. Grow in it. Why do so many fall away? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read, now we beseech you, brethren, beginning in verse 1, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day, that the day of Christ is at hand. I believe that today. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of the Lord shall not come except there come a falling away first. Mark it down. The day of the Lord will not come. That's one of the signs of the end times. And don't we see it happening? Don't we see it happening, young people? Let that be a warning to you. Don't kid yourself and think you can play around. The Lord wants all of your heart. And if you give Him all of your heart, you don't need to fear the day of the Lord. You don't need to fear that day. You don't need to fear whether you're going to be one of those that's going to fall away. You don't need to fear that. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and you won't fear that day. If you don't fear the Lord, you'll fear that day. The sad thing is, as I've observed individuals that have fallen out of the kingdom of God, the sad thing is, most times they fall back into sin deeper than they ever were before. Mark it down. Don't think you'll just go back where you were. Most times you go down further. You go a little bit deeper into sin than you ever were. Why? One, either conscience is totally numbed, or they're trying to run while God is pricking their conscience, and they're trying to do away with their conscience. Sin will do that. Sin will do that. Sin will numb your conscience. Others have fallen out of that kingdom, God's kingdom, gone back into the world, and they're deceived, still thinking they're all right. There may be some here today. Because Satan blinds the eyes. Satan would love to keep all those who follow the kingdom of God deceived and thinking that they're still in the kingdom of God, just not doing very well. Just not doing very well. I'm that weak one that the Bible talks about. I'm that one that needs to be strengthened. There are those. There are those in the kingdom of God. But they're usually not there because of sin in their life. As you have received Him, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Is it God's will that many should fall away? God forbid. God forbid. In 2 Peter 3:9 we read that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, to you, not willing that any should perish. Listen. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet the Bible tells us it will happen. See, God is all-knowing. We could turn to the book of Ezekiel, and we won't for the sake of time. But the Bible tells us it will happen. Because God is all-knowing. It's not His will. But He's all-knowing. And that should be a warning to us. That should be a warning to you young people. You who are in Christ. You who are living for Him. You who have a relationship with Him. Take heed. Lest you be one of those that fall. Take heed. It's not impossible for those of us that are find ourselves in a church to fall. It's not impossible. And you know, the Lord Jesus here in John chapter 10, verse 27, we read, "My sheep hear my voice." That's those who are in the kingdom of God. "And I know them, and they follow me." That's a key to making sure that you don't fall. Mark it down. Follow. Follow the shepherd in this kingdom. Follow the ruler in this kingdom. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And I know them." Is there personal relationship there? "And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Glory! No man can pluck you out of the kingdom of God. No man. It doesn't matter what this world tries to do to seduce you and lure you in. No man. God's almighty power, God's almighty hand is stronger than the sin combined in this world. No man can pluck you out of God's almighty hand. Why do so many fall? It's because they allow themselves, as the book of James says, and I'll just use my own wording here, but they allow the world to entice them, to draw them. They give in to this enticing. They believe the lie of the devil. The devil says, "Come with me. Just for a little while. It'll be fun. You'll enjoy it." And some believe it. Some believe it. "Oh, this little thing won't hurt you. This little thing won't hurt you. You can take that with you." Whether it be the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's not that bad. It starts off on a small scale. Some give in and fall. In God's kingdom, you and I are safe and secure. Isn't that a comfort? In that kingdom, we are safe and secure. No one can pull us out. But you and I can decide to go out. No one can pull us out. But you and I can decide to go out. Some would say, such were never born again. Don't believe that lie. Young people, don't believe that lie. That's heresy. That's false teaching. Don't believe that lie. You were never born again. Once you're saved, you're always saved and you're secure. I believe in eternal security, but not unconditional. Upon the condition that I abide and remain in Christ, no man can pluck me out, but I can choose to leave. If that's not false teaching, why did Demas leave? You know who Demas is? He's one of the co-laborers with Apostle Paul. He's named with Luke. I think we find his name 3 times in the New Testament. He was a co-laborer. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, I think it is, Paul gives the sad account. Demas has left me having loved this present world. Demas was in this kingdom, but he developed and fell in love with this world. And Jesus says you cannot love both kingdoms. You'll either love this kingdom and remain in it, or you'll love this kingdom. You'll either love this kingdom and hate this kingdom, which is true, or you'll love this kingdom and hate this kingdom. Don't believe the false teaching out there that you can never fall away. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. But you have the power and the will to leave if you want to. Jesus gives us many warnings about remaining faithful. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, if you will. If it were impossible to fall away, why would Jesus say these words? Beginning in verse 4, the latter part. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And he shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be a famine, or there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. Listen. And then shall many be offended. And shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. Why would Jesus say that if it were impossible? to fall away. Why would he say that? In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 21, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." If ye continue, my beloved friends, you're in this kingdom, in God's kingdom, you're safe and secure only as long as you continue therein. What about Judas? Was he just never a disciple, a true disciple of Christ? You think Christ just overlooks his sinful nature and just allowed him, included him in the 12 as he chose them? Included them in the commission to go out, knowing that his heart was not right, knowing that he's in sin and he had a love for money? You think that was the state? You think Jesus looked at Judas in that way and just kind of overlooked it and hoped that he would change? I don't think so. I think he was real. There was a time he was real. But he was enticed, drawn away by the things of this world. Jesus did not pray that God should take us out of this world, but that He should keep us from the evil in this world. Keeping us from the evil in this world that we live in. The evil has not decreased, has it? We need to be aware. The evil has not decreased. It's only increasing. But Christ's prayer is for us. Christ, though He's not on this earth anymore, is seated on the right hand of the Father, still interceding for us. I picture that Christ is there on my behalf, still pleading with God, "Keep him. Keep him in this world. I don't pray that you take him out of this world, but I pray that you keep him in this world. Keep him from the evil." And I believe Christ is doing that for all of His children. Each one of you. But that doesn't mean that we don't pray. That doesn't mean we don't pray. We have our part to do. Psalm 14:1 says, and I'll just paraphrase it. You may turn there if you want, but mark it down. The fool has said in his heart, "There's no God." The fool. And you know, there's people in the kingdom of God, they get deceived and they start to get questionable. Is God real? Is God real? You ever ask that question? How do you know God really exists? How do you know that the Bible is true? These questions coming out of a lighthearted individual deceives them to the point where they'll say there is no God. They're a fool. They're a fool. The foolish thing to do. If anyone here finds himself struggling, and it usually starts with a struggling soul. Someone who falls and repents and gets back up and falls and repents and gets back up and they get tired of it and they begin to question God. Instead of questioning their own life, they look to God, and some go to the extent of blaming God for their struggles. Don't do that, young people. Don't do that. God has provided the ultimate sacrifice. He's given all. He's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Don't you begin to blame God. Look at your own life. Look at your own life. You'll find a fault there. Don't harden your heart by asking such questions. Is God real? Don't harden your heart by asking, is the Bible true? How can I know that the Bible is true? You know what my answer is? It makes no difference to such a person. But you know what my answer is to those questions? My life, the way the Lord Jesus transferred my life, I know He's real. And if that answer doesn't do, no answer will. Because you can't go to the Bible. Because they won't believe anything you read to them. But praise God, He's got the power to transform lives. We can be that walking Bible. We can tell the individual that I have victory over sin. I don't struggle with that sin anymore. I don't struggle with that sin anymore. I was bound in this sin and it doesn't even affect me anymore. But many a young person, and not just young people, older Christians too, but we're talking to youth here this week, fall away and they harden themselves with these foolish questions that one day they will regret that they asked. One day they will regret it. Asking such doubting questions after they have once been enlightened, mark it down, it only hardens the heart more. Every time you do that, every time an individual that's been enlightened, that has tasted the goodness of God, when he begins to ask those questions, he puts on another layer of callous on his heart. The unbelief becomes so real to them. Everything looks dark around them. As you have received Him, so walk ye in Him. Walk in Him. Live that way. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Further we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read, and I'm just going to quickly quote it here, that we are to separate ourselves from this world. We're to be separated. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather, we should reprove them. In John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, mark it down and read it for yourself. Again, we won't read it for the sake of time. But there we have three sins listed, and John writes to the Christians. The Apostle John is writing to the Christians. And he names there the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Young people, we need to guard ourselves against these. The lust of the flesh. Living for the gratification of physical and sensual desires. The lust of the flesh is at war with the Holy Spirit of God. Guard against it. The lust of the eyes. Living for the accumulation and enjoyment of material things. This could be involved covetousness, adultery in the heart, etc., etc. Simple things that our eyes look upon. The lust of the eyes. Riches. And then we have the pride of life. And this is a big one for a lot of young people. Take note. Seeking honor of men. Seeking the approval of men instead of God. I wouldn't doubt it if there's someone sitting here and he's looked up at brethren that have been preaching, and with a prideful heart, not with a godly, godly jealousy or a godly longing, but with a wrong heart, thinking, I want to be like him. Why is that not me? Don't ever look to a man. Look to God. Imitate Him. Yes, we're called to live lives that are worthy to be imitated. But don't set your standard according to another man. That's too low. That is too low. Don't you ever pattern your life after my life and say, okay, if I reach that standard, I've got it. Don't you ever do that. Set your standards higher. Look to God. I believe with all my heart, every brother that has preached and will preach and does preach has this testimony. I desire more. I desire more. You could be jealous over your prayer group leaders. Oh, why am I not a prayer group leader? Don't go there. You look to Christ, you follow Christ, and Christ will direct you where He wants you. Be faithful where Christ wants you. Don't put yourself where you want to be. Go where Christ wants you to be. Stay in the kingdom of God. Know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can't love this world and be in God's kingdom. I'm going to close here. I already taken extra time, but I want to give you one illustration yet. Jesus says not that God was supposed to take us out of this world, but to keep us in this world. And I don't know if this is still true today. If Eskimos still hunt this way, but there was a time that they did, where an Eskimo would take a knife, a sword, sharpen it, make it as sharp as possible, and he would dip it in the blood of seal or walruses. He'd dip it in there, take it out, let it freeze, dip it in, let it freeze, dip it in, let it freeze. You know what's happening? He's getting a thicker layer of frozen blood on there. And when he had a desired thickness on there, he would take the handle of the knife and let it freeze in the middle of a big block of ice. And he would set that out in the open when they're looking to capture a wolf. And apparently wolves have a very keen sense of smell. Sometimes Christians have too keen of a smell of what's in the world. The wolf here is going to represent the world and its power. So he would take this and set it out in the open, and the wolf would smell it. And he would come and begin to lick this frozen blood. Wolves are very bloodthirsty. And he would lick and lick and lick and not realize that by the time he got to the knife, he cut his tongue. And this gush of warm blood would just make him desperate for more. And he would lick and lick and lick his own blood, not knowing he's licking his own blood, until he died. Bleed to death. He bled to death. The Eskimo had his wolf. Be careful. That wolf is in the world. And if we're not careful, we'll fall. We'll fall. We'll fall to our own death. As you have received Him, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for each one of these youth that's come out, Father. Each one, Father, that's been born again and is in your kingdom. Father, we just pray, keep them. Father, grant them the desires of their heart as they search and desire and purpose to go on. Sober us up, Father, realizing that we cannot play around in the kingdom of God. Father, as the Lord Jesus prayed, I do not pray that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil one. From all the evil in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY. Or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.